Good morning. The forthcoming Yantif of Shavuos is different than the other Yomim Tovim. The Torah calls, Chazal calls Shavuos Atzeres. It's interesting, the Torah never calls Shavuos Atzeres. The 2 days that the Torah calls Atzeres are Shmini Atzeres and Shvi Shal Pesach are called Atzeres. And one of the commentators explains why are these days called Atzeres and not the other days? Because Atzeres just means stop, Atzor. Don't do Malacha. All the other Yom Tovim have many mitzvahs involved with them. Pesach has matzah, eating the first days of eating the matzah, and Sukkot has the Sukkah and the Dalet Minim. And Shmini Atzeres only has the prohibition of not doing malacha. There are no special mitzvahs on those days. Shavuos, when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, Rav Yecheskel Abramsky points out, Shavuos, when the Beis HaMikdash existed, so there was a special korban that you brought. So there was a special mitzvah. But now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so there's no special mitzvah to do on Shavuos. So Shavuos is just atzeres, don't do malacha. So Shavuos is a good opportunity for us to go through a little bit of Hilchas Yontif. To know what's usher to do on Yontif, what's mutter to do on Yontif, because Yontif is, you know, Shabbos is hard enough to learn Hilchas Shabbos, but at least Shabbos, you know, everything's usher, you know. You know, and Yontif, some things, whenever some things are mutter and some things are usher, then it becomes very blurry. Like Chol HaMoed, that's the hardest. Because, more things are mutter and things are usher, and people are totally, there's total confusion. So maybe today we'll try to dispel some confusion about Hilchas Yontif and try to understand some basic principles of what you're allowed to do in Yontif, what you're not allowed to do in Yontif, etc. So the Torah tells us on number one here, וביום הראשון מקרא קודש וביום השביעי מקרא קודש יהיה לכם, כל מלאכה לא יעשה בהם, אך אשר יאכל לכל נפש הוא לבדו יעשה לכם. So this is a pasuk in Parshas Bo, and the pasuk in Parshas Bo tells us that you're not allowed to do melacha on Yontif, but for ochel nefesh, for food preparation, one is allowed to do melacha on Yontif. So that would mean that if the same thing that you would do on Shabbos, if you take a piece of raw meat and you would cook it on Shabbos, so then you're chayiv skila. That's it. That's the last Shabbos. But if you do it on Yontif, that's permissible to do on Yontif, to cook on Yontif. We'll see what the specific halachas are. But here the Torah tells us that it's mutter to do melacha on Yontif. And based on this pasuk of Acha sheyochel l'chol nefesh hu levado yeyosa lachem. So in the course of this shiur, we'll try to understand it even greater. In fact, if you look in number four, the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah says, "Ein bein Yontif l'Shabbos ela ochel nefesh bilvad." That the main difference between Yontif and Shabbos is ochel nefesh. That on Shabbos there's no heter for ochel nefesh. If you don't have food on Shabbos, so that's it. You don't have food. You can't cook. You can't carry to cook. You can't do anything. Yeah, and better fast than cook on Shabbos. But on Yontif, it's a different, and we'll try to explain the idea as well. Number two, the pasuk, we have another pasuk, Bayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh Yalachem Kol Melechas Avoda Lo Sasu. That the pasuk says Kol Melechas Avoda, and the Ramban in number three says, Aval Peish Melechas Avoda Kol Melecha She'ena L'tzorach Ochel Nefesh. That Melechas Avoda means when you do something for toil, that you're just working the ground or something like that. It's not directly for ochel nefesh. So that's another source that ochel nefesh is prohibited by the, is permissible on yontif, because it only says kol meleches avoda lo sasu, but meleches hanah is mutter. By the fact that it says meleches avoda lo sasu, but meleches hanah is mutter, and it's a long Ramban. We're not going to do it now. It's too long. I don't know how they typed it. Let's get on to some of the halachas. Oh, so look at number 5. Amar Abaye Peres Hanoshun Taimam Gzereshem Yalla V'Yitlosh. There is a halacha on Shabbos and Yontif that if you pass by a tree and you find some apples on the ground, so I would say maybe you should eat them. Why not? Go eat them. So the halacha is you're not allowed to eat them. Why not? The apples are on the ground. What's the problem? So the problem is that we're afraid that the apples are going to be so tasty and you're going to enjoy it so much. So what are you going to do? You're going to pluck another apple. You're going to pluck another apple. So since you're going to come and pluck another apple, so we forbid you to eat any of the apples that are on the ground. That is the prohibition called peros hanoshrim, fallen fruit. The prohibition of fallen fruit. So fallen fruit is prohibited. Oh, so the question that the Mefarshim ask is, I understand on Shabbos if this happens. If on Shabbos this fruit that fell from the ground on Shabbos, so you're going to come to eat the fruit, you'll pluck it off the ground, and that's one of the lamates melachos that you tolish from something that's mechubar, something that's attached to the ground or to a tree which is attached to the ground, I understand very well. But on Yontif, what's so bad? So, you'll eat a fruit, you like it, so you'll pluck another one. Isn't that ochel nefesh? Isn't ochel nefesh permissible on Yontif? So what's the problem? So, on number 6, the Tosfos in Maseches Beitza explains this issue. So it says, top line, Perish Rabbeinu Nasanol Mikinon, De Bishalmi Yesha Asher Yochel Ochel Nefesh, Vesamichle Ushmarte Metzamatzos. Osan melachos mishimur ve'elach hey mutaras dahainu milisha ve'elach havashal melachos mikodem l'chein asurim. In other words, the Torah, when the Torah tells us the permissibility of ochel nefesh on yontif, it's in the juxtaposition of the mitzvah of shmur matzis. Okay, so right in the Torah it says keep yontif and ochel nefesh is mutter, and it also says the idea of shmur matzis. So just like shmur matzis, the question is, when do you have to watch? At what point is the shimur from? So it's a big debate. But the Yerushalmi says, only from the kneading part and onward. So when it says shmartim etz hamatzos, it means from the lisha ve'elach, from the kneading part and onward, that's when you have to watch the matzis especially. But beforehand is not part of the mitzvah shmur. We're machmir, if you look on the boxes of the shmur matzah, so all the boxes say ktsira, shimur mishatz ktsira, that means from cutting. But that's not the Yerushalmi's opinion, and that is not the opinion of all opinions. And it could be that some of the matzahs that we consider are not shmurah, are maybe shmurah according to certain shitas as well, and therefore, even though we're makpid to get the real shmura matzahs, you shouldn't think that people who are not yotzei at all, because that could be shmura according to other opinions. So the Yerushalmi's opinion is shmura matzah only means from the kneading part. In other words, from the part of kneading. So what does that mean? When you take the kernel from the ground, and then you crush it up and make it into flour, and then, so that's all before the kneading process. So that part is not part of the shmur matzah. That you don't have to watch so carefully then. It's only from the lisha and onward. So the Yerushalmi says, just like by shmur matzahs, the shmira only has to be from the kneading and onward. That's when you put the water in the flour and you start kneading the dough. So too, the only thing that's mutter in
Ochel Nefesh is only from the Ninu Prasen and onward. So plucking from the ground, even though by apple is not shayach of kneading, but it's the same concept of plucking from the ground, is parallel to taking the seed from the ground, and that's prior to what? To the kneading. So therefore, that's not included in the heter of Ochel Nefesh. Only from Lisha, only from Lisha Ve'elach. And therefore, Tosis explains that's why there's a problem of Peros HaNoshrim, of the fruit that fell from the tree on Yontif. You can't eat it because you're afraid you're going to pluck, because that Ochel Nefesh is not permitted, because it's before the Lisha. In other words, what would be parallel to Lisha in a bread processing situation? So anything plucking from the ground is parallel in the bread process to taking the kernel from the ground, and therefore it's prohibited. And therefore the Issa of Peros HaNoshrim doesn't only apply to Shabbos, but applies to Yontif as well. Okay, so that's the first halacha. Well, you see, our flour today is bleached, and it could be it's already chametz. You see, that's... Right, but you see, we have bleached flour today. But in theory, the shmur matz is only a din of shimur only during the kneading process and onward. So, but it happens to be that the flour we have in America is bleached flour, which could already have been made into chametz. Normally then, they didn't have bleached flour. So therefore, you're right. In Ochanami, according to this Yerushalmi, you could take regular flour and then put water in. I know somebody who wanted to be makpid, not to buy, some people on Pesach have a makpid, not to buy any products from the stores. And they want to make everything on their own. So they bought flour and they bought water and they made their own things. And it turns out that they made chametz, because the flour was bleached flour was already chametz. They didn't realize that. So you have to know the metzias today of what today's flour is. But we're getting a little off the topic. Okay. Yeah, on the topic. Yes. You don't have an equivalent, but you don't have an equivalent on the apple, but you do have that prior to, in other words, just the parallel that the plucking is like plucking the wheat, and that's before, and in other words, it's not going to be a direct parallel every step of the way. Okay. Now, the next important point is number 7, is the following. The Mishnah in Masechet Beitzah. Beishame omrim ein motzim lo asa cotton v'lo asa mulo v'lo asa sefer Torah lo shus harabim. Beishame says that on Yontif, again, imagine that there are some communities that you don't have an Eruv and you can't actually carry in them. So Beishame says you can't carry a child, a lulav, or a sefer Torah in the public domain on Yontif. That's what Beishamai says. And Beisilel is matir. Beisilel says it's permissible. So if you'd ask me, who would I vote for, Beishamai or Beisilel? So I would say Beishamai. Right, why? Because Beishamai says, what does it say in the Torah? It says in the Torah that Ochel Nefesh is mutar on Yontif. So, the last I checked, taking a cotton and taking a lulav and a sefer Torah, that's not Ochel Nefesh. Right? So Beis Shammai says, we follow what it says in the Chumash. Right? That's a good Jew. You follow what it says in the Chumash. And the Chumash says, Ochel Nefesh is mutter. So Beis Shammai says, therefore, all these things are prohibited. And Beis Hillel says no. You're allowed to carry a cotton, lulav, and a sefer Torah out into the public domain on Shabbos. Now, we know the halacha is like Beis Hillel. We always follow Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. But why? L'chor Beis Shammai has the Chumash on his side, and Beis Hillel doesn't. So shouldn't we follow? So Beis Hillel has this principle called Mitoch, and this is a very interesting idea. And Beis Hillel's opinion is that any of the Lamites Melachos that were mutter for Ochel Nefesh, we say that since it's mutter for Ochel Nefesh, it's mutter even for non-Ochel Nefesh. What does that mean? In other words, everyone agrees that if you made cheese blintzes and your neighbor across the street needs some cheese blintzes, so you can carry the cheese blintzes to your neighbor on Yom Tov, because that's the pasuk of Ochel Nefesh. Right? So that's mutter. So Beis Hillel says that once the malacha of carrying is mutter for Ochel Nefesh, so then the Torah or Chazal permit it for even something that's not Ochel Nefesh. But it has to be mutter for Ochel Nefesh. For example, writing is never mutter for Ochel Nefesh. Right? There's no scenario, even though you can give me a scenario that you're writing to order something for food, but that's too far removed. So that's never going to be permitted for Ochel Nefesh. So something that's permissible for Ochel Nefesh, if it's permissible for Ochel Nefesh, then we permit it for non-Ochel Nefesh as well. So, in other words, Beis Hillel says, don't take the pasuk literally. That's the way some explain that it's only Ochel Nefesh. It means any malacha that's mutter for Ochel Nefesh is therefore going to be mutter on Yom Tov. So Hotzah is mutter for Ochel Nefesh. So therefore, it's mutter on Yom Tov as well, for non-Ochel Nefesh. So in other words, that's the concept of mitoch. Mitoch literally means since. Since the Torah permitted Hotzah carrying for Ochel Nefesh, it's permissible even for non-Ochel Nefesh purposes. But like writing is never permissible for Ochel Nefesh, because there's no scenario of writing for Ochel Nefesh. And even if you could give me a case, as I said, it's going to be too far removed from the Ochel Nefesh, so it's never permissible for Ochel Nefesh. So since it's never permissible for Ochel Nefesh, it's not permissible for anything else. But say, for example, Shechita. You're allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov for what? For Ochel Nefesh. I mean, we don't do this today so much. But then when they used to be shechting, you could shecht an animal for Ochel Nefesh. So then some posts can say, so maybe you could kill a bee. Because bee, if it's bothering you. Because since Shechita is mutter for Ochel Nefesh, so then it could be mutter even for non Ochel Nefesh. But you have to start off that it's in a scenario that it's mutter for Ochel Nefesh. Then you could say mitoch. Beis Shammai is very literal. If the Torah says Ochel Nefesh, it's only Ochel Nefesh. Beis Hillel says no, it doesn't mean only Ochel Nefesh. It means a malacha that's mutter for Ochel Nefesh is totally mutter. And we paskin like Beis Hillel, so therefore we hold that not only you can carry the cheese blintzes, but you can carry the machzor and the lulav, and with one thing you have to make sure, that it's something that you need for tzorach hayom. You can't just, in other words, it's a misnomer to think that many people grow up, that a Yom Tov carrying is mutter. Right? Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry. Yom Tov, you can't carry. So that's not true. Yom Tov, you're also not allowed to carry. It's that something that is tzorach hayom, so we apply the principle of mitoch and say that since you can carry it for Ochel Nefesh, you can carry it for non. But it's something that you totally don't need. Say you have some things in your pockets that are totally not necessary, so then you have to remove them before, if you're in a community that there's no Eruv, or you're not using the Eruv, so then there's no heter of, there's no halacha that carrying is mutter. Carrying is also on Yom Tov also. It's just that we say that since you can carry for Ochel Nefesh, you can carry even for not Ochel Nefesh, but it has to be Tzorach Hayom. So three examples of Tzorach Hayom is taking the child out for a walk. Some say it's only taking the child to his bris milah, but we assume it means to even take a child out for, when he's older than 8 days old, for a walk. You're carrying him, or the lulav, or the sefer Torah, to the Rishus HaRabim. And Beis Hillel, permits this. But if something you have a chleis and something in your pocket, you see, there's a discussion, say you have keys to the house. So many poskim say that, Rav Moshe Feinstein said like this, so you have to take the key out that you need. You can't just take the whole keychain of all, with all the keys, the car keys and the this keys and the that keys. That's not Tzorech Hayom. So that's not, that doesn't come under that, there are some poskim that are more lenient since it's in one chain, but the simple pshat is that you only carry the thing that, the thing that you need. You have some papers in your pocket that were put in your pocket for, and there's no need, there's no tzorach for it, so then there's no heter to carry on Yontif. Again, this is all within Beis Hillel's Shita, who's the more liberal Shita. There's more, the Beis Shammai says, no, the Torah says Ochol Nefesh, it's only Ochol Nefesh. Beis Hillel is the one who broadens the horizons, yeah.
Yeah, okay, sure. Okay. No, she didn't ask a question. She just wanted me to keep the mic further away. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We can hear you. In other words, he learns. There's a whole literature on what Beis Hillel is based on, which we could go on for a long time, but just for the purpose of today's presentation, it's just based on the fact that when the Torah says Ochel Nefesh, it doesn't only mean Ochel Nefesh. It means a malacha that's used for Ochel Nefesh doesn't apply. So Chotzah, carrying, is used for Ochel Nefesh. Shechita is used for Ochel Nefesh. So then you could do it even for non-Ochel Nefesh. Those don't take Ochel Nefesh as the reason of what's being permitted. That's just categorizing which type of malachas were transferred over from Shabbos to Yontif and which were not. Well, carrying on Shabbos within an Erev, so it doesn't have to be Tzorech Hayom. In other words, but you can't do Hachana and things like that. But no, it doesn't have to be. As long as it's not Muktzah and things like that, it doesn't necessarily. Right, so as long as it's not Muktzah, like if you're carrying an Erev Shabbos, you have some papers in your pocket which are not Muktzah, so you don't have to remove them. In other words, but on Yontif, if there's no Erev and you're carrying, so it has to be Dafka Tzorech Hayom, and you have to make sure you remove everything. Yeah. If you want, no. If you're carrying for Tzorech Hayom, then you don't need an Erev. You do not need an Erev. If you want to carry something that's not, that has no necessity whatsoever, then you need an Erev. No, let me make this clear. In other words, on Yontif, you're allowed to carry for Ochel Nefesh, and even something that's not Ochel Nefesh, provided it's needed for the day, like a key to the house, you need your lulav, but the papers in the pocket are forbidden to carry on Yontif. And if you would have an Erev, then they would be permissible on Yontif. But without an Erev on Yontif, they would be prohibited. Unless they're for the shear, right? Yeah. Yeah. Too far, okay. Yeah. Yeah, go. I can't hear you. Oh. Oh. That's excellent. That's number 9. So, okay, we're getting. Yeah. Yes, Mr. Hirsch.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's all coming. It's all coming. Yeah, it's all coming. Just give me a chance, and it's all coming. Okay. 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 Look now on. Okay, number. So number seven is very important. It tells you this concept of mitoch, but again, it has to be tzorach hayom. Number eight. Acha sheyochol chol nefesh dover hashovel chol nefesh. So another halacha that the Gemara tells us in Ksubis, that for Hilchas Yontif, the only things that are mutter are things that are shove l'chol nefesh. That means that most people consider these things a necessity. And if not, they're forbidden. So in the literature of Poskim, there are two discussions that come under the category of this discussion of shove. In other words, everyone considers if you need you have a key, you need a key. So that's shove l'chol nefesh. Any normal person needs a key to get in. But something that's not shove l'chol nefesh. So what's the discussion? So in the time of the Talmud, it wasn't common for people to bathe on a regular basis. So therefore, it was considered to heat up, say, heating up water. So heating up water, you're allowed to heat up water to drink, right? Because that's ochel nefesh. And then we said once you're allowed to do something for ochel nefesh, and you can do it even for non-ochel nefesh. That's the concept of mitoch. So then you should be allowed to heat up water to bathe. So the Mefarshim say that no, that that's not something that only special people did. That wasn't something that most people considered a necessity, because that was the society that they lived in. That bathing wasn't something that you do on a regular basis, and that's why the Poskim said that one should not bathe on Yontif, because it's not shove l'chol nefesh. The thing is, today most people consider that a necessity, and they do it on a regular basis. So therefore, again, this topic of bathing and Yontif is a big topic. So, but Poshe Pshat is that today it is considered shove l'chol nefesh. There are other reasons of issues of bathing. Also, some permit only if it's lukewarm in a situation where somebody is very, very sweaty and very, very really, really needs it. So then there are poskim that permit with the lukewarm water, because today it is considered shove l'chol nefesh, and what was considered not shove l'chol nefesh in the time of the Talmud no longer applies today. The poskim still say that the minig is not to bathe on Shabbos or on Yontif, but again, in a situation where the person is in tremendous distress, so a minig only has a certain amount of potency. Mokum tzar gadol, then the minig falls away as well. Then you just have to make sure not to squeeze anything or to do it like that. So there are poskim that permit in lukewarm water. Again, only if you're in that situation of a major distress. Another thing that was a big discussion on this category of shove l'chol nefesh was the, and this of course we know better today than people knew then, and that was the discussion of smoking on Yontif. That was a big literature in the poskim of whether one is allowed to smoke on Yontif. Do we consider smoking something that's only, that not most people consider to be a necessity or not? So the Pnei Yeshua has this famous comment that people used to believe that smoking was good for you because it helps your digestion, and therefore the Pnei Yehoshua has his famous comment that's considered shove Shavu l'chol nefesh, and therefore the poskim permitted it. Today, we know that smoking is not such a good thing, so it's probably not even permitted during the week. But those are the two things that the poskim discussed under this category of shavu l'chol nefesh, whether you're allowed to bathe on yontif and whether you're allowed to smoke on yontif. And each one runs its own course. Yeah. Right, on Shabbos, right. Shabbos you couldn't have any hot, right. Yeah, right. Okay. Now, number nine is another interesting comment. Shlosha dvarim hitiru sofa mishum tchilasam. So, there is a concept of hitiru sofa mishum tchilasam. What does that mean? Let me give you an example. The first example is or lifnei hadorsan. What does that mean? So, we said before that you're allowed a shecht on yontif. Today, we don't do it so much because we have our meat we buy from stores. But then, you know, in the olden days, you bought a chicken and then you went to the store, they shechted for you, and then you went to the Rav to see if it was kosher. You know, in the Lower East Side, the women used to wait on Fridays for a Moshe Feinstein to finish the shear so they could show him their chickens to make sure that it was kosher. Today, we don't do that so much. So you're allowed a shecht on yontif. So, but people were afraid to shecht on yontif. Why were they afraid to shecht on yontif? Because they were afraid that they're going to shecht on yontif, and again, they didn't have refrigeration like we had today. They didn't have. So what's going to happen? All the skin from the animal, which is very valuable, is going to all go to pot, because they're not going to be able to preserve it on yontif. So people, what would people do? They would not shecht, and this way, what would they do? They wouldn't have a good yontif meal. Because they'd say, what am I going to lose out? The thousands of dollars on the skins that I'm going to lose. I'd rather just have a couple of blueberries and that's it. And not to lose out on my big animal with the big skins. So Chachamim didn't like that attitude. They thought that was a very bad attitude because people are not going to celebrate Yontif properly. So what they said, what you could do is, after you shecht, you can take all the skins and put it in a public area, and people will, dorsan means they'll step on it. And that will keep it preserved through the duration of yontif, and therefore afterwards you'll be able to do what you need to do and it won't go to pot. So we have this concept of tiru sofa. Now really, to do that on yontif is prohibited, that people should step on the thing, because that's also a type of processing. But we're afraid if we're not going to let you do that, we're not going to let you have the people step on it, then you won't come to shecht in the first place. So, and we're interested in you shechting because we want you to have a good yontif meal. So therefore, hitiru sofon mishum tchilosan. In other words, we permit something in the end, means we permit the people stepping on your hides to what? Because we want the tchila, we want you to shecht initially. So this is the discussion that was raised before about bringing things home on Shabbos, on Yontif rather. In other words, the question is, you finished the lulav, so now what's the heter of bringing it back? There's no tzorach anymore. You don't need, unless there's some people in your house that didn't bench lulav. But if everyone benched, so you should have to keep it in shul. Or what's the heter of bringing back the machzor or whatever? That's not tzorach anymore. So unless you say you need it for kiddush, but so there's a concept of tiru sofa mishum tchilosan that we're afraid that if you're not going to, we're not going to let you bring it home, then you're not going to want to bring it there in the first place, and we want you to be able to use it. So therefore, we permit hitiru sofa mishum tchilosan. So this is the principle that Chachamim permitted something that really should be prohibited. It should be prohibited to bring it home. But in order to give you the incentive that you should be able to bring it in the first place, then we let you bring it back as well. And this was the big machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Moshe Feinstein permitted the Hatzalah members to drive home on Shabbos, even though they're not won't necessarily be needed for another call, just to be with their families. That's not a pikuach nefesh. Not pikuach nefesh, but they were afraid that if we're not going to let them come home, they're not going to want to do it in the first place. And therefore, he permitted it. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach asked Rav Moshe Feinstein permission to print a tshuva disagreeing with him. And he says that the only time we find in Shas that they permitted something that really should be prohibited is something that's only osur midrabbanan. So therefore, we permit that, even though we really should be like stepping on the hides, is only osur midrabbanan. So then we permit that to give you the incentive to do shechita. But something that's an issur daraisa, a biblical prohibition, like driving a car on Shabbos is osur min haTorah. So then there's no heter. So different hatzolas follow different psakim. The Hatzolah in Williamsburg has one psak, and the Hatzolah in Borough Park has another psak, and in Washington Heights has another. Different Hatzolahs follow different opinions, whether they will rely on this kula of Rav Moshe Feinstein of permitting Kitiru Sofa Mishum Tichlosam, applying it to, again, to something like driving home on Shabbos or not. Okay. Let's skip a little bit to number 13. The Rambam writes, Kol melacha she'efshar lo le'asos me'erev yontov lo yeh behefsed lo chisorin, im nases be'erev osu chachom lasos lo be'yontov af bishul tzorach achila. Was anything that you really could do before yontov, even in the area of cooking, you really should do it before yontov. Why? Lama osru dover zegzer shem yanich adam melachas she'efshar lasos me'erev yontov liyontov v'nimtza yontov kul holach basiyas osam melachas. Because we don't want the yontov should be a day that you're just cooking the whole day. Yontov is supposed to be, you're supposed to be enjoying it. So therefore, so anything that if you're going to cook it on erev yontov, it's not going to taste so good. So then you can cook on yontov. But things that really you could basically taste the same, and it's not going to be, maybe it'll be a little negligible difference, really you should do that on erev yontov, even in the area of ochal nefesh. When it comes to hotzah, poskim or makel, in other words, you could carry your machzor. You don't have to make sure to bring the machzor to shul on erev yontif. But that's what he writes in halacha vav. B'zeh tamatz melo osru hotzah b'yontif. Because that won't be a problem. But we're afraid that if we're going to let you cook on yontif everything, even though you could have easily cooked on Erev Yontif, you're going to leave everything for Yontif. And then Yontif is going to be just one big day of being in the kitchen. And that we don't want that. We want that it should be an enjoyable day of Simchas Yontif. It should be more on the eating side of things, not on the cooking side of things. So therefore, if you could cook it beforehand, you're required to cook it beforehand, unless it's really going to be a real difference in the taste of what's going to be if you do it before. But if it's not going to be such a difference, then really you're supposed to cook even in Ochel Nefesh. Now, as far as the Torah is concerned, there's no difference. The Torah said Ochel Nefesh is mutter. So the Rambam seemingly says it's only that the rabbis made this prohibition. In other words, the Torah says Ochel Nefesh is mutter. So Ochel Nefesh is mutter, even if you can do it before. You could still do it on Yontif. Chachamim saw that, that could undermine the whole concept of Simchas Yontif, if you're going to do it on Yontif, and therefore they said that anything that you can do beforehand that's basically going to taste more or less the same, you should do it beforehand, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 14, Kol melacha asur b'Shabbos asur b'Yontif, chutz mimlechas ochel nefesh chutz notzah. And then the Ramah says, "Agav yesh machmirin afil ba'ochel nefesh asmo kol she'enu mefik tam klal." In other words, we machmir if it's not gonna, the taste is not gonna be gonna diminish. You should do it beforehand. But if you forgot, so you should do it something that really you could have done on Erev Yontif and you left it for Yontif, so you should do it in Bederech Shinoi, like some explain, you do it in a different type of pot than you normally would do it as well. But really, you should do it beforehand. Number 12 that we skipped is also related to this. It's not so Nogeya. It's about fishing on Yontif, but I don't think most of people are going fishing on Yontif, so we don't have to discuss... because it says the halacha is that you're not allowed to go fishing on Yontif, even though you'd say that's ochel nefesh, but that's something you could have done yesterday. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, you want to ask a question about fishing? Right. So that's right. That's true. In other words, if you wouldn't be able to spoil it, but others say that it's not only that issue, that taking the fish out of the water is like plucking the fruit from the tree. So it's before, so it would be also for another reason as well. But it's not so relevant to our lives, I don't think. I guess not. Okay. Number 15. Lachem v'lo leklovim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lachem v'lo lenochrim. That ochel nefesh, it says, hu levado yes alachem, for you. So for you, the Gemara says two things are excluded. That you can't cook for your animals. It has to be for human beings. And it also has to be for Jews. It can't be for... You can't cook for Gentiles on Yontif. That it's a special ochel nefesh only for a Yisrael. So now the Gemara tells us in number 16 an interesting point. That you're not allowed to invite a goy to your house on Yontif because we're afraid that you're going to cook for him. And therefore we forbid you even to invite him, lest you're going to come to cook. Poskim permit if you have a sleeping maid or something like that. Whereas Rabbi Welcher Sefer, he discusses this at great length. If it's not a social obligation, but it's another type of obligation that they're living in your house, so then you don't cook for them especially, but you can give them some of the food. But when there's when you actually invite them to your house, so that in itself is problematic, and we should try to avoid that. Right. So even if you cooked it beforehand, we're afraid that you're gonna come to heat up a cup of tea for him or something like that, and so lochem is only for a Yisrael, and this is an added chumrah. In other words, the cooking is also for the guy, and therefore we're afraid that you're going to invite him, then you're going to come to do some type of cooking for him as well, and the cooking could just mean taking heating up some cold water up for him that's already called cooking. Okay, number 18. Ein motzimus ha'or v'lo mina eitzim v'lo ma'avonim mina... Okay, there's another halacha on Yontif, is that we know havara, making a fire, so that's asur on Shabbos. If you light a match on Shabbos, yichayev misa. Or if you turn on the ignition of the car on Shabbos, that's like lighting a match. So that's prohibited on Shabbos. But on Yontif, at first glance, it should be no problem, because Havara means either to make a new fire or to take a pre-existing fire from one candle to another candle. That's all Havara. So Lechora, at first glance, that should be mutter for Ochel Nefesh, because that's Ochel Nefesh is mutter in Yontif. However, Chachamim came along and said that even though Havara is Usur on Shabbos, but it's mutter for Ochel Nefesh on Yontif, that's only if it's a pre-existing fire. At first glance, there should be no difference, because it's the same malacha. It's the same malacha to strike a match and make a new fire, and then to take a candle and take a pre-existing fire from one candle to the other is just as forbidden on Shabbos. So when it's mutter on Yontif, both should be mutter. However, Chachamim said that we don't want you to do anything on Yontif that looks like you're creating something new. You're making something yesh me'ayin. You're making something new. So therefore, they said to strike a match, even though there's no difference halachically between striking a match and taking from a pre-existing, as far as the Torah is concerned, but as far as the Rabbanan are concerned, there is a difference, and therefore the Rabbanan forbade making new fires on Yontif. So everything you do on Yontif has to be from a pre-existing source of a fire. This is a very interesting discussion, because in the olden days, and I'm sure that people here could probably testify to that, that even in very Orthodox homes, people used to turn on the lights on Yontif, because people considered turning on the light as not making a new fire, but just getting the electric current that exists someplace else and bringing it here, and that wasn't considered turning on a fire. And that's how people, many years ago, even in homes that were Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, used to follow that notion. Today, the minhag has become to assume that any type of turning on lights is considered like making a new fire, and that's not considered pre-existent fire. And that's what's makubal bizman hazeh. Even though in 30, 40 years ago, people used to turn on lights on Yontif. Again, on Shabbos, no one ever turned on lights. No one who kept Shabbos ever turned on lights. They didn't turn off lights. Right. They turned on but not off. Right. Because the Havara is mutter for Ochel Nefesh. And therefore, since we have a principle of mitoch, once it's mutter for Ochel Nefesh, so then it would be mutter to turn on the light just to read your book. Right? Just like you can carry the cheese blintzes, so you can carry the lulav. So you can turn on the fire for food, so you can turn on for naan. But we consider that to make turn, bizman hazeh, we accepted upon ourselves not to turn on lights. Even though there was a tkufa that, and that's a question of how you understand how the electric current is working, and whether turning on a light is considered parallel to striking the match, which would be forbidden, or is it considered parallel to the to just lighting it from a pre-existing source? There's another interesting halacha in terms of lighting fire. Number 19, Ner Shel Batola. In other words, a ner shel batola means a ner that you don't really need. So you're not allowed to light it, because we said the only thing that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry for ochel nefesh, you can carry even non-ochel nefesh, but it has to be tzorach hayom. If there's no tzorach, no need, you can't do it. So lighting a fire also has to be a tzorach. So the discussion on number 20 is, what about the yortzeit candles? What about the yortzeit candles? So the yortzeit candles is a question whether is that a real type of tzorach in terms of your need for light. So that's why the Bir Halacha points out it's better to put it in near where you're going to eat, so you'll have some type of benefit. It shouldn't be just a memorial someplace there, that it's not really being functional, but you should try to make the yortzeit candles as functional as they could be, because it has to be tzorach hayom. And so this is the discussion of Havara. Number 21, just on the topic that we discussed before, of making a new fire on Yontif. So we saw that this Issur d'Rabbanan of making something new, creating something new, and that's considered forbidden. So in 21 it says, Ein raskim lo asa shelag v'lo asa barad b'Shabbos. This applies to Shabbos as well. You can't take snow and crush it on Shabbos, because you're changing the form. So even though in HaTorah you're not doing anything wrong, but Rabbanan said they didn't want you to make anything that looks like a malacha. When you're changing the form, it looks like a malacha. Just like when you're lighting the fire, even though technically speaking on Yontif it's mutter, because Havara is mutter on Yontif, but you're making something new that didn't exist before, so that's considered prohibited. Midrabbanan. So the discussion that the poskim have is making ice cubes, right? Because ice cubes is the same idea. You're taking a liquid and you're putting it in the freezer and you're changing the form. So that's a big discussion the poskim have. Some poskim say it's totally mutter because it's happening by itself. You're not really doing it. It's not like the case where you're squeezing the ice and you're making liquid. And others forbid it. So simple pshat is that if you can do it beforehand, you should really try to make the ice cubes beforehand, if you can, because it might come under this prohibition of making something new on Shabbos or Yontif. The same thing applies to a whipped cream, right? If you squeeze the whipped cream out of the thing, so you're also changing the form, because in the bottle it's a liquid. When it comes out, it's a foam. So we have many poskim that say that that's prohibited midrabbanan, because you're making a new form. Yeah. Yeah, there, right, there you just, that's a discussion, but there it's happening by itself more, so it might be more cooler, Dick. Okay, I just want to finish up a couple of points here. Number 23 is the din of Bisra Gumri, that they used to roast the meat, and they would put meat on the fire, and that would cause the fire to extinguish when they put the piece of meat on the fire. So that's the source that you're allowed to lower the fire. Again, this is with the old style stoves had pilot lights, and you still have it? Okay. Right. So the old style stoves in the less modern days, and we still had pilot lights. So so if the food is going to get burnt, so you're allowed to you're allowed to lower it because you're doing it for tzorach ochel nefesh. Rav Moshe Feinstein even permitted to close it. That was a chiddush that he never wanted to print. The people who knew that he permitted it to close the pilot light on Yontif. Not the pilot light, to close the burner on. Yeah, the pilot light's still going. Then that would be permissible because he didn't consider that being extinguishing. You're just taking, you're just stopping the source of the fuel. With electricity is a different question, and that wouldn't necessarily, as people point out, be permissible. In number 24, it discusses the halacha of borer. We know that borer on Shabbos, you're not allowed to select the bad from the good. You're not allowed to use strainers and things like that. So on Yom Tov, borer is something that's mutter for ochel nefesh. So therefore, even the poskim that there's a discussion, many poskim prohibit using peelers on Shabbos. It's a machlokas. Some permit it, but many prohibit it. But on Yom Tov, it would be permissible because the only thing that's prohibited on Yom Tov for borer is you're going to do it in a mass production way. You're going to do it in some way that you're going to do for many, for a long, you're doing it now for 1,000 people that's going to last for many, many days. That's prohibited. But the normal household type of things like using the spoons that have the slats in it, which on Shabbos is probably prohibited, could be used on Yom Tov. We're using the peeler, which on Shabbos is very questionable. On Yom Tov would be permissible. Then number 25. Again, we're running out of time here, so I'll just conclude. Number 25 is the halacha of. We should never forget that there's a halacha of simcha on Yom Tov. Sometimes we get all, a lot of pressure in preparing for the Yom Tov. We forget that there's a mitzvah of simcha on Yom Tov. And the Rambam says that every group has their own way of simcha. Like the little kids, they like nuts and little things. And the women like clothing and jewelry, and the men, they like different things, yeah, food. So everyone should get what their particular thing. So that you have to prepare from beforehand to know to give the particular gender what they consider simcha. That's part of a simchas Yom Tov. Yeah, okay, well, 1 second. So I'll talk to you after. Just want to finish this point. Within the issue of eating, so there's a discussion of whether you have to eat meat on Yom Tov or not. Some poskim say you have to eat meat. In the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say that. Shulchan Aruch just says you have to drink wine on Yom Tov. The Rambam says you have to eat meat and as part of Simchas Yom Tov. So there are two discussions. One discussion is some people like dairy more than meat. So maybe it should be subjective. It should be subjective. Others say no, it has to be dafka meat. And this comes up especially on Shavuos, because Shavuos, the minig is to have milk. So really, technically speaking, the minig of having milk on Shavuos is really to break up the meal, to start the meal with milk, and then to continue with meat. But that becomes a little complicated, to serve milchiks and fleishiks at the same meal. And al pi kabbalah, you're not supposed to do it, even though you're having the milk first and not the meat. So one suggestion is that the halacha of having meat on Yom Tov doesn't mean that you have to have meat at every single meal. All it means is that in other words, some hold you don't need meat at all. You can even have chicken, you can even have milchiks if you enjoy that better. But even if you hold you need meat, that doesn't mean you need meat at every single meal. So what you can do is you can have a night meal, especially night is less halachas of having simcha at night. The ikar simcha is in the daytime. So therefore, you might want to serve the milchik meal at night and have a fleishik meal in the day, and this way you covered both opinions. In other words, you had a fleishik meal on every single day, and you still mimikayim the minhag to have milk on Shavuos, and that's part of the din of dvash v'cholov tachas l'shonech, that the Torah is nimshol l'dvash v'cholov, and Shavuos is the day of Matan Torah. So this way you could fulfill that as well. And the Iker idea, the Rambam says on page 20, in number 25, is that when he discusses that everyone, the ketanim, you give them nuts, and the women you give them clothing and jewelry, and the men you give them meat and wine. But he says, "Kshu ochel v'shosa chayv la'achil la'ger li'osam v'almana." But the key thing on Yontif is to make sure that everyone is provided for. In other words, you have neighbors who don't have a place to go, so you have to, part of the preparation of Yontif is to make sure that you invite guests. And it's interesting that the Zohar, the Rambam says, "Misha noel daltos chaveru chatzeru v'ochel v'shosu uvonav ishto v'einu machil mashkel aniyim." Angels simchas mitzvah, simchas kreso. Whereas if a person doesn't invite guests and he doesn't open his house up to everyone, so he's undermining the whole concept of yontif. And you should know that the Meshech Chochma writes that there's, even though we invite guests on Shabbos as well, but Shabbos really is not is not as important to invite guests as in Yontif. Shabbos really, there's nothing wrong with inviting guests on Shabbos, and it's encouraged, etc. But the real din of having guests together is on Yontif. And says the Meshech Machma, all the halachas that we're permitting, ochel nefesh, and caring, and all this, is to facilitate this camaraderie, which on Shabbos we don't necessarily consider as important as on Yontif. And all these halachas are to facilitate. And that's why the Sefer Noam Megadim says that, just like we started off, the Mishnah in Megillah says, "Ein bein Shabbos l'Yontif ela ochel nefesh levad." So literally it means that on Shabbos you're not allowed to have do malachah v'ochel nefesh, and Yontif you can. But the Sifrei Chassidus say, based on the Zohar, that ochel nefesh levad means eating alone. And at Shabbos, it's, even though, again, we encourage guests on Shabbos as well, but it's not as important. Eating the ochel nefesh, to eating alone, ochel nefesh levad, is not as bad as on Yontif. Because the whole idea of Yontif is Klal Yisrael comes together. Like when we make the Misha Berach for somebody on Yontif, what do we say? V'yiske lalos l'regel im kol Yisrael echov. That Yontif is the getting together of everyone coming together, going to Yerushalayim. Today we don't have that, but that's all these halachas of Yontif. We shouldn't lose sight of what they're all about. They're all to get this idea of camaraderie, of Avas Yisrael, and Simchas HaYontif, and we should be Ezra Shem, be Zoche, to fulfill not only the letter of the law of Hilchas Yontif, but the spirit of the law of Samachta B'Chagecha, not only for yourself, but for all members of Klal Yisrael.